Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Nonfiction, where in reality, we discuss relevant topics of the past and the present. I'm your host, The Communicator. Today, we have an interesting spotlight on youth and college life with our guest, Scott Batista Jr. Welcome, Scott, to Nonfiction.
Hey, thank you. First of all, I want to say hello, and, you know, I'm honored to be on here and inviting me to talk, you know, with my very own grandfather. So, excited.
Well, Scott, the last time we did the show, I think you might have been 9 years old, and we did a show that you were very, very forthcoming, articulate, and I remember it stayed with me, and it's still with me. So I'm so glad that we have this opportunity to take it to the next level. So, Scott, like I said, it's a pleasure to have you on Nonfiction. I remember watching you play basketball for your middle school on your middle school team, and I know you played high school ball as well. Do you miss playing organized hoops at all?
I really do. Now that I'm in college, I play pickup about two or three times a week. I try to stay in shape. But as I play and, you know, as I sort of get better just playing and developing my game even after I stop playing, I do wish sometimes I could go back and maybe probably made better decisions with sports. I end up quitting basketball my junior year and playing my senior year. And, you know, as I look back, I'm like, man, I just made a decision based off how I felt emotionally. And I definitely should have just played it out my junior year in both years to really get that full experience. But nonetheless, you know, we can't go back in time. But if I could, yes, I really do miss playing sports, especially basketball.
So I know you've just finished your first year at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Looking back, how was that first year for you, Scott?
Honestly, this year was amazing. Probably one of the best years I've had. I've definitely had some highs and lows, just like everyone else. But I really feel like I've gotten out and really got a chance to experience life, you know, as a young adult. You know, and being, you know, I guess a new adult into this world with me just turning 18 last year. It's definitely been an experience. I've had big adjustments to make from moving or living at home with, you know, two parents and then moving onto a college dorm with three other roommates and roommates that I knew, and I'm grateful that I knew them beforehand. But, yeah, this school year has been definitely electric, and, you know, I'm excited for next year. I think next year is really going to be a blast. I feel like I got my feet adjusted. You know your way around the school. You got your people that you hang out with. And so next year, I really think I can embrace the fun and the diligence of, you know, being at UTK.
I know that the campus is a sprawling campus. I looked at the campus, and it's really, really big and sprawling. How long did it take you to learn the ropes and know your way around the big school?
I'd say it took me about a month. I'd say a month to know where I was going to my classes and getting adjusting to where every the main things were, like, say, like our student union, all of my classes were, and probably like where like just the main things were. But overall, in terms of learning where everything was on campus, I'd say I'm still probably learning. We have a second library. I don't think I've ever visited once.
I know you grew up in Clarksville, Tennessee. What are some of the major differences between Clarksville and Knoxville?
So Clarksville is definitely like a military, army-based town. So a lot of the population there is military. And
right.
It's more spread out. And with me living on campus, it's like a higher, like, population density. So it's like you see everybody sort of compacted into one smaller area. So I see a lot of different people within the days and obviously with my time here. I would say Knoxville is a step up above Clarksville in terms of, like, city life. There's, like, you have your little sort of, I won't say skyscrapers, but taller buildings that you may, like, that you see in New York or Seattle, bigger cities like that. However, it's not stepped down from Nashville and Memphis in terms of, like, the city-wise, the city area. And I say the weather here is sort of similar to Clarksville, but it is colder during the winter months, and it's windy here. A lot of the days are windy. And, you know, when you come up here, everybody's pretty much a volunteer fan. Maybe back in Clarksville, you got a few Kentucky fans and Georgia, you know, got fans from all over. So that, I would say that's definitely one of the bigger differences, especially with me living on campus.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out that Knoxville, which is on the east coast of Tennessee, is on Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time now, as opposed to almost the rest of the Tennessee, Memphis, and Nashville and Clarksville that are on Central Standard Time. Did you have any problems with the time zone difference?
I did. When I drove back and forth, I always constantly have to change my car clock. But I did a little bit, especially with assignments going back, maybe going back for spring break or for the weekend and having to turn it in an hour earlier before I would usually have to. And then, I'm a big music guy, so waiting on new music to drop, you know, back in Clarksville would be 11 p.m. And, you know, I felt like you would get an hour early. But here at Knoxville, it's like, man, we got to wait till actually 12 a.m. to actually get the music released.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd like to talk about something you and I just, which is something close to my heart, and that is the transition you had from being a high schooler to a college student. I know for some it could be very challenging. How was it for you?
It was good, actually. The transition, I think I was mentally more prepared for it than I was, physically and emotionally. It was times where I felt like I was kind of alone. And not that alone where I was alone, because, you know, there's 20,000 people on campus and around you. But that feeling of, mentally, like, okay, you feel alone from your parents just because you're so, you know, for, you know, the past however long, 18, 17 years, you've been living with your parents. And for, you know, some people like me, you live with your siblings as well. And so that was a big adjustment from moving, I guess, thinking more independently than dependently. And that's like a big adjustment, okay, knowing when it's time for me to buy new groceries, you know, knowing when it's time, to fill up. When should I go out to this party or should I stay in? Having that discretion, you know, that discretion is up to you. And so having that, like, learning to have discipline to say no, learning that discipline to do your work when nobody else is doing it. It's a lot of things that go into transitioning into being a full-time, productive, and, studious college student. And I think high school could do a better job at preparing it. I think my parents, did a great job at preparing me more than a little high school, because when you get to college, it's not just about balancing, you know, your schoolwork, like such as high school. You know, it's also about balancing your life, you know, balancing all areas of your life, including, you know, emotionally, whether you're a spiritual person. And a big one is financially, you know, learning how to budget your money and not spend it all on, you know, on food. Or spend it all on clothes. And a lot of, you know, obviously some people are graced with parents that are higher class, so they may be able to get away with that if their parents allow, but others aren't. You know, others, like, you know, for myself, example, you know, my parents aren't crazy rich, you know, but my parents also are teaching me responsibility. So where I may fall short, they may not always be able to pick up the slack, or they may not just want to pick up the slack, because it's up to, you know, yourself to be able to make those decisions to, you know, better yourself, not just as a student, you know, and as a son, but as, you know, becoming an adult.
I remember when I was going to college, there were people who just couldn't handle it, and they kind of dropped out, you know, during the term. Have you seen anybody do that?
I have. I actually, I know a few people. I actually, you know, funny you say that. The other day I was walking back for the dining hall, and I seen a buddy of mine. He's not really a buddy, but a guy I had talked to a few times, and we borrowed a speaker a few times and listened to some music. And he came up to me, and, you know, previously in the year he had told me, like, he was skipping classes, he was getting high and just missing classes. And I'm like, you know, I'm minding my business. So I'm like, hey, man, you know, okay, cool, you know. But in my head, I'm like, maybe, you know, maybe he's just good at that. He does his work. You know, fast forward to, you know, last week, he told me he ended up dropping the semester and that he'll be back next semester, you know, and God knows if he'll be back. And, you know, maybe he will. I wish nothing but for the best for him. But, yeah, I've had definitely heard of a few people that have dropped out, or, you know, dropped out of the semester at least.
So, Scott, what are you majoring in, and why did you choose it?
So my current major is cinema studies, and I minor in journalism, media, and diversity. If I were to be completely honest with you, I still don't know exactly what I want to do with that. But I know I wanted to move to a sort of creative aspect in terms of, like, work, artwork, and not meaning painting, but just different forms of art, such as photography, videography, and things of that nature. I think cinema studies is sort of revolves around all that, especially with the classes you take. And I'm hoping that next year, my sophomore year, you know, I get some insight on, you know, where I want to go with that major specifically, and, you know, what field of work I would like to do with that.
I know you spoke briefly about the break from your house, from your household, specifically being away from your parents, and you said that was a little challenging. Can you elaborate a little further on how being away from your parents has basically changed your lifestyle?
Yeah, of course. It has. You know, being only son that lives in the house with a sister and a father. You know, I'm my mother's youngest child, and, you know, as, you know, being a youngest child and being her only boy, you know, she, not, I don't want to say baby me, but she tended to my needs, whether that was food or, you know, my wounds, I was getting hurt.
Sure.
And as I got older, sure, obviously, she, you know, took steps back, you know, to increase my independency. But still, it's, you know, it's still there. You know, as a mother, you want to be there for your children. And whether you're there for them, you know, right then and there, or whether you're up the street. And unfortunately, I was neither. You know, I was, you know, 3.5 hours away. And while that's not too far, it's still something to adjust to. And so for me, being without my parents meant, in a sense, more freedom. You know, you can do whatever you want to do without maybe having to give accountability to your parents or anyone. And so that was definitely, I had to get used to it. You sort of rethink decisions in your mind. It's like, hey, if I were to do this at home, you know, would this sort of be acceptable? And not maybe in a sense if you wanted to please your parents, but still you just wanted to make a smart decision. You given a reason that, okay, maybe my dad wouldn't, you know, maybe I'll text my dad and reach out to him. Another thing is, I guess, accessibility. You know, I don't have access to a pantry or a kitchen because of me living in a dorm. So it was definitely different. I couldn't go downstairs and fill up my water bottle. You know, I would have, you know, here I would have to open the door, get out of my bed, and maybe go out to the hall and fill my water bottle, or, you know, have water bottles in within my dorm. I think it's a big, super big adjustment, especially me turning 18 when I moved into college. Me having to pay for things myself. You know, my parents, you know, maybe asking them for money here and there, and, you know, I had to be okay with my father saying no. You know, he has no, in a sense, no obligation to give me any of his money that he worked for. So that was a little bit different. Remembering to call my parents was a little weird as well over time, because it's like you don't see them that often. And with, you know, people that you don't see, it's not maybe always on your heart or always on your mind
right.
to remember to call them, especially your parents. So that was new. And then having sort of to, like, update them on a weekly basis rather than daily. You know, I would come home from school and high school.
Right.
Hey, how was your day, son? Blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, okay, yeah, son, how was your week? So we're going through each Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so the conversations are a bit longer, but they are more, I think, more in-depth, especially with my father. You know, we're having, you know, our conversations. You know, we do have small talk here and there, but, you know, most of the time it's about, you know, real things, real-life things and within college and even, you know, back home or just in life in general. So I think those are, you know, a few big adjustments with me moving away from my parents.
And now that you've basically been away from mom and dad, as you've said, for a while, and have experienced some of the world, do you see your mother and father in a different light than when you were younger? Have you seen firsthand some of the things they tried to instill in you?
I have. Being in high school and being a teenager, and, you know, our parents obviously want to make the best decision for their kids. And,
yep.
you know, being a teen, being 16, 17, you know, even 18, 15, you don't always see that as, you know, as the best decision. You know, you want what you want, and, you know, you want to get it however you want to get it. And so, you know,
right.
over the course of high school, I butted heads with my parents multiple times, arguments, you know, trying to sneak out the house, me just having disagreements, saying, you know, saying things out of spite, seeing them sort of as my enemy and, you know, seeing them and not really seeing both perspectives. And now, you know, as I'm continuing to get older, but, you know, my parents have more become like mentors and friends to me more than they have, or right now more than, I guess, as the, I would say, as someone who disciplines, because now,
yeah,
now discipline is sort of a bit further out of their jurisdiction to me being older. It's like now I, you know, I'm able to make my decisions, but still I, you know, I heed what my parents say. And I, you know, I enjoy talking to, you know, my parents. Although my, you know, my dad might talk my head off sometimes and I'm like, man, dad, you know, I got to go. And, you know, it ain't like, he can see me what I'm doing or whatever. I might just be laying in the bed or whatever.
Right.
But I do enjoy talking to my parents. I enjoy hearing them update. And most of all, I enjoy seeing my parents, you know, live their life. You know, they had me and my, you know, me and my siblings when they were young at about 20 years old, close to about the age I'm at now. And, you know, the rest of the time, they, you know, they worked hard to be able to provide for us. And, you know, my parents, you know, they're actually getting ready to go on vacation here soon. But I, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy my parents being able to enjoy the fruits of their labor, especially now that we're out of the house. And eventually, obviously, that's why I'm in college, you know, to work hard and, you know, want to be able to take care of my parents when they get older. You know, just thankful, you know, out of all the things that they may have not got right, and the things I didn't agree with and may not still even agree with, you know, what they've did for me and what they continue to do, still do for me, you know, outweighs that. And obviously life is bigger than that. And so, I can't thank them enough. But yeah, I definitely, our relationship, the dynamic of our relationship is changing and is, I think, is continuing to change in a good way as well.
Yes. 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 It's like you said, it's dynamic. Exactly. They say going to college, Scott, is not for everybody. Do you agree, and why?
I agree. I definitely agree, for a few reasons. People, you know, there's some people that just don't want to go to college. Whether that's a different route they want to go, whether they're not ready, whether they want to work, whether they want to take a year off, or whether they just want to, you know, you have those people that just enjoy the life they're living now, and they're okay with that. They're okay with maybe selling drugs, or they're okay with just being at home and just working a 9-to-5. Some people are okay with it, and that's completely okay. They're entitled, you know, to how they feel. other reasons, some people aren't ready for it. You know, I don't want to call anybody out, but some people that may have dropped out may have not been ready to take the load of balancing school and life away from their parents or away from their guardians.
Right.
Maybe their guardians didn't do the best of a job at preparing them in all aspects. You know, you can't just be book smart and not be, socially there or, not be able to take care of your emotions. You know, you have people that are book smart, but you have other, that those same people, don't take care of themselves. They're not brushing their teeth. They're not showering. And it's like, hey, man, I get it. College is about school. That's what you're here for, to go to school. But at the same time, you have other areas in your life that you need to take care of. And not everybody is prepared for that. And whether that takes, a few months or that takes a year, I don't think it necessarily matters. As long as you're prepared for it, prepare for college, I think you should, if you feel not prepared, you should hold off. And, no degree has a time. Hey, you got this done in 5 years, you got it done in 7. It just says you got your diploma whenever you got it. And so I think high school tries to rush, kids into thinking like they have to go straight into college. And, with a college degree, you make $10,000 more than the average person. You hear all those things. And while that may be true, everybody is different. And you can't force people into a curriculum that they may not want to do. And that's may not what their life, what they're called to do. They may be called to be a pastor. They may be called to be a fisherman or work broadcast. And not everything needs a route to college. People have jobs without college and are paid well. So like I said, it's really dependent on, if you're ready or not and if it's for you.
Scott, what would you say are some of the fallacies and misconceptions about college life?
The misconceptions is you can do whatever the heck you want. I think especially with maybe parents that were stricter on their kids and youth. And while you may, and yes, very well, you can do whatever the heck you want, right? You don't have to listen to anybody per se. You can drink as much as you want. But, like my mom always told me growing up, everything comes with a consequence. And whether that's underneath your household of your two guardians or whether that's under your own roof, every decision that you make has consequences with that. And so, you can go out and party. You can go and not do your work. Well, what's that consequence? Sooner or later, you'll be right back underneath the people that sent you out, the people that you hated, and you'll be right back underneath their roof, still learning to submit to rules and regulations. And I think that's the biggest thing. Whether you don't like or like the rules that your guardian may have made in place, or whether your high school had put in place, everywhere you go, you still have rules to follow. And so if you're not able to follow rules anywhere, the college is not the place for you. And until you learn how to follow rules, nowhere's the place for you.
So you went to Houston, Texas a while back on your school break. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah. I had a buddy. His name was Max, Maximus Cabrera, to be exact. And we met through UTSA, which is a scholarship program at the University of Tennessee for minorities. And so we met through there. I met like the first day, and we hit it off. We chopped it up. He was always over. We went to breakfast, went to eat dinner. We played sports together. He was just a good friend, and a genuine friend too, not one that talks behind your back. And he enjoyed his solitude as well, and always kept it real. And so he ended up He ended up transferring to U of H. You can tell he was sort of homesick and missed his girlfriend. And he was one of those cases where he was ready for college. He was at the mature level ready for college, but I don't think he was exactly ready to be that far away from, from home. Maybe he still wanted to be home with his parents and just wanted that comfortability. And, maybe, of course, save money. He's out of state, or his parents save money. And so that's always something to think about as well. But, hey, we're like, hey, man, you know, we got to come see you. A lot of times, especially being young, you know, we say that and we're like, hey, we're going to keep in touch. And you don't keep in touch. But this plan made it out the group chat. And so my suite mate, we took a flight down there and went to go see him. We stayed with his parents where he stays, and it was really an experience. We went to we went out, we had fun. We went to a beach house in Galveston. We went to the fair. We walked the streets of Houston. We were able to go to the Galleria, and it was such an experience. It was great weather down there, and of course thankful for his parents for allowing us to stay down there. And we ate great food. Houston has great food. It's a lot of diversity down there, and you know, although I'm, you know, lived in Clarksville, Tennessee, pretty much my whole life. Coming here to Knoxville, it's sort of like the same. It's not really that much diversity. You don't see much of maybe different ethnicities and different races. So going to Houston is always
I can definitely relate to that. There was no diversity.
Right. And you know, as a young adult who's visited other places such as New York, New Jersey, and up north on the West Coast, you know, you've experienced what diversity looks like. And so Houston is definitely a diverse place, and diverse in everything, diverse in food, diverse in different stores and things, and definitely diverse in people. So I really enjoy it. The traffic is, you know, a little crazy, but we weren't driving. We were just there for the ride. So I couldn't complain at all. And it was, once again, a great experience. And it was also a good vacation, you know, one of my first vacations without my parents. And so that was also good to, you know, experience how it is, what vacation is like, you know, how you budget for vacation, you know, how you handle things on vacation, because some things may, you know, you have those miscellaneous things that may come up. Oh, hey, I forgot my belt. And if you don't, you know, if you're not planning for that, or, you know, haven't put money away for that, it can become an inconvenience. And so it was definitely an experience. And my swimmer actually asked me yesterday when we're going back to Houston. So we'll probably definitely get something in the works, maybe visiting later this year or hopefully next year or so.
Oh, man, I'm really glad that was a good experience for you. You know, Scott, we come from a family of writers and storytellers. If you were asked to write a story about your first year at UT, what would be the first thing you'd write about?
If I had to write a story, the first thing I would write about, honestly, is the Alabama game. I would say that it was probably one of the best moments here at UTK campus. It was, like, electric. You know, if you were indecisive about where you wanted to go to school and you were to take a visit and you were to, you know, go to the game and just had experienced that whole day from start to finish, I think we could have convinced anybody to be a volunteer. It was just so electric. The vibes were great. I spent the day with friends and even got to raid the field and go to the game. And that was one of the best experiences. And it's like, man, I didn't even really watch college football, you know, back in high school and back when I was younger.
Right.
But, you know, I felt this tug, you know, that tug in your heart. It's like, man, like, you know, you go here now, now you're a part. And so being able, like, to actually enjoy the game and actually have, you know, experience emotions, the up and down, like the touchdowns. Okay, the score is against us. And then when we, you know, when we miss the field goal or whatever, we're like, oh, man, like, it sucks. You know, and you know, you feel like you're in that drought, and then to win at the last second with everybody experiencing, you're watching it up close, eye to eye, was definitely a great feeling. And then after was, you know, one of the greatest, you know, I had the time of my life afterwards. So I would definitely start there, and then, you know, definitely to hook, you know, the people reading it, and definitely I would, you know, also describe my experiences with, you know, the great people I've met. Most of my friends, I feel like, are from the city of Memphis. And I've learned a lot from them, and they've probably learned a lot from me. And I feel like, you know, everybody that I met, it's like family. You know, I mean, it's like a culture here. And I really have enjoyed the experience so far.
So let's talk about the upcoming summer break. What are your plans?
Honestly, my plans are to work. I don't, you know, after I graduated high school, I don't really have much friends back home. I think I talked to about a handful of maybe five or six people back home, but only hang out with maybe two or three. And so, you know, I'll definitely spend time and catch up with some people that, you know, I didn't see as often. Really just spend time at work. I have this, you know, apartment, thankful for this apartment I have in the fall, and most of my friends are up here. Now, I do plan on going down to Memphis and going to see my friends down there maybe once or twice over the summer. But really just work hard and, you know, stack my chips and my bread for the fall. And of course, you know me, I'm going to go thrifting. And I'm definitely going to, you know, spend time with my, you know, with mom and dad and cook, you know, and I'll be able to cook and really just prepare mentally, financially for the next school year. And I'm also taking a summer class. So I'm taking Japanese over the summer. And, you know, my goal is to travel abroad to Japan one of these years. Definitely learn how to speak it, the language. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. So Scott, I feel I have a pertinent question for you. Besides anyone in your family, who would you say are your heroes? Who are the people that you admire?
Besides anyone in my family, who are my heroes? That's honestly a great question. If I had work to answer, before I even answer a question, I couldn't even really tell you, I guess, who my hero is. Me growing up, my father was always in my life, even when he had, you know, was working a lot more than he does now. I didn't really have any mentor. I didn't grow up with my older brother as I know him now. And I didn't really have any mentors in my life to sort of guide me and, you know, be that big brother maybe I could vent to or teach me some of the, you know, maybe the cooler things that your father didn't teach you about. And so that was I sort of felt like, not neglected, but like, hey, like, I sort of felt left out. Everybody had like a big brother they could go talk to. And so I never really had, I guess, a hero other than my mom, my father, and my sister. But if I had to have one, I would probably say it would maybe be a music artist. I hear a lot of things through music, and while, you know, people's songs don't always relate to my life, I definitely feel like if I had to choose a hero, music, you know, music was sort of like my outlet. I really enjoyed to listen to music, and it didn't sort of shape my thinking, but I sort of, you know, learned a lot from just listening to music, listening to artists. If I had to have one, I don't want to sound like, you know, a groupie, but Drake, I really enjoyed Drake. And he's not necessarily a hero, but his story and, you know, his lifestyle or life to get where he came is really inspiring. And it sort of still, you know, motivates me to work hard and sort of live maybe not the same life, but live a life that I, you know, that's worth living for myself. You know, it'll look completely different. But, you know, it motivates me to get up and, hey, you need to work hard, you know, regardless of how you feel, you know, regardless of what's going on. You need to work hard to put, not just to work hard, but to put yourself in a better position than you are today.
In closing, how has your faith helped you in getting you through this past year in your life?
You said, how is my faith?
Right. How has your faith helped you in getting you through this past year in your life?
That's a great question. There's been times I've felt, like I said, alone. I felt down. You know, you get an assignment grade back and you're like, man, I did terrible. You know, how do I readjust? Or you may have, you know, a disagreement. You may have made decisions that, you know, you regret. But honestly, just continuing to strive for, you know, a relationship with Christ. And you're not going to always get it right. And, always, I mean, every day, every day we make mistakes out here just in living life. But, always keep God first, definitely, before anything. And, no, you're not gonna remember to, pray or read your word every single day because that's just unrealistic. We might forget. But I will say to have something you could hold on to, whether that's Christ or whether that's whatever you believe in, have someone you can at least know that's above you, someone that you can look up to and whether pray to or talk to as someone, that is greater than you. Life is bigger than just yourself. So obviously someone, has to be out here putting things in order for your life. And so, that's what I would say for me is it's really helped me get through this year, overcome battles and hardships, and even just, being able to have the confidence to be a student here and to be a minority here, having faith to get you through the day and to remember that you're not alone here, regardless if you feel alone, that you're not just here alone by yourself, that people love you, that you're here with other people that are going through the exact same thing. They may not share it to you, but are going through the exact same thing.
You've been listening to a new and exciting concept in podcasting called nonfiction. My guest has been the very articulate and knowledgeable Scott Batista Jr., my grandson. Scott, I want to let you know that I am extremely proud of you, and I love you so much. And I'm also proud of the way your parents, my son Scott Sr. and your mother Danita, have raised you. They've done an exemplary job. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming on the show. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you so much, Poppy, again for the invite. And once again, I'm honored to come back on here, as a sort of little reunion as well. And so thank you again. And I pray the rest of your week goes well. And, of course, we'll talk soon.
All the best.
Bye-bye.